Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Delia Smith refuses point blank to tell us how excited she is.
I can't tell you how excited I am.
Ed Balls encourages City fans to make a difference in keeping Carrow Road tidy.
If you are a fan, as I've been for many years, you can walk out and kick a can as you walk down the road.
More yellow and green then. I don't know, just make your own one up for God's sake. This is the Little Yellow Bird Podcast.
Welcome to the 17th ever episode of the Little Yellow Bird Podcast. I am John Rogers. Hello. Happy New Year. And I also have with me Mr. Dan
Brigham.
Hey,
Dan. Happy New Year.
The best writer of 2016 in the whole world, I think, so far.
Is that very kind to say so?
People loved your piece, didn't they?
Of my Alex Neil piece.
Yeah, you haven't read it. Go read it, you bloody idiot.
It was for a website called Set Pieces, which is a very brilliant football website.
Right,
lots of long
right.
reads. But it's also on our website, the littleyellowbirdproject.co.uk, and it's got a link to the piece on there. And John's got a piece on there about lovely Robbie, lovely Brady.
Lovely Robbie, lovely Brady. So what are we going to talk about today? Well, we're going to talk about every single football over Christmas, which is a lot to do. We're going to also speak to Ed Cousins-Lake, who gave us a cracking interview about something rather interesting.
A bit about Cam McGeehan and
yeah.
the book that's coming out, a
exactly.
bit of an expose, and also...
Him having a midlife crisis at quite a young age.
Yeah.
And also
FA Cup.
Yeah, FA Cup stuff. And we've got the tweets to come up, and we've got Dan versus John, and we're going to just leave you quite quickly and abruptly at the end of this, because this first part, I think I could do home and away, but it's kind of all the same, isn't it? Because there's so many home and away games, we'll just do it anyway, shall we?
Yep, one big blob.
Norwich City games at Carrow Road, and somewhere that's not Norwich, home and away.
Dun, dun. So we had about 55 matches over Christmas. I have no idea what on earth happened.
We won them all.
That's right then. What more do we need to talk about? Let's get on with the tweets. No, we had a fantastic... Well, last we spoke was the Man United game.
Was it?
Back,
it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Last year.
It feels like a long time ago.
We had Spurs.
Yeah, which we didn't do. We didn't win.
Too well.
No.
But he was keeping players in check so we could... Not actually inside the goalkeeper, Peter Cech, but we were keeping them in reserve so they could play really well against other teams.
You could do that with Neville Southall now. You could literally keep a whole team of footballers inside Neville Southall.
I think he does.
He is enormous, isn't he?
To other goalkeepers.
He's like a goalkeeper production line.
Aston Villa.
Mm.
That was fun.
It wasn't, but it was good, though, in the end. It was a proper championship mid-table clash. Quality of football was poor. We'd never got any passing together. Villa pressed really well, actually, I thought. For a team who were doomed, I thought they put a lot of effort in, but they had absolutely no quality whatsoever up front. And we had two moments of quality with the two goals and won. You know, simple as that.
See, Guestead isn't the most agile of players, but play to his strengths. If you're going to put that big lump up front,
yeah.
put endless... crosses
yeah, he didn't start,
and knockdowns
did he?
And didn't start, and when he came on they never played it up.
No, they didn't whack it in. I mean, that's because they had a lot of corners in the first half, Villa, and you just thought if they had Guestead on, then you know he's apparently got the best something like headed to goals ratio in the four
Universe,
divisions or something
I think the
like that.
Tat was.
in the stratosphere, then oh my god, what happened there?
I don't know. I don't know if it was. I don't know.
It does sound like a have been invaded by aliens. What's going on?
I don't know.
Or Martin O'Neill. Oh, I can't do that joke.
Oh, man. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, so don't say the word stratosphere ever again.
No, because it breaks mental. The stratosphere, doesn't it?
So, I liked when we scored the goals against Aston Villa and Southampton.
Yes.
But how and why did we score those goals?
Do you know what I liked, actually, is that they didn't score any goals.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's an extra.
Against Norwich, did they? That's two clean sheets in a row, yep. As Besong would say. So two wins in a row, which we hadn't done since Houghton era, first season. It's barely an era calling it two seasons, is it? It's more of a sort of a...
Feels like that.
Bit of a sneeze.
A sneeze in the...
Or a little follow through.
What on earth are you talking about?
Just a very damp squib, wasn't it? The 2 years under Houghton. But we hadn't won two games in a row since then. And we hadn't kept two clean sheets in a row. Did we even do that in the Championship?
I don't know. That's the point.
We'd only 1-0, wasn't it, in entire 2015, which is pretty extraordinary. Mm. We were the entertainers. But no, it was really pleasing. I think Rudd has clearly made a difference. He was really commanding his area against Southampton,
yep.
Which was maybe the one thing I was unsure about. You know, great shot stopper and comes out really well, lots of agility, but hadn't really needed to command his area in previous games. But he needed to a few times against Southampton and was very good at that. And so I think we've probably got ourselves a Premier League quality goalkeeper, although how he reacts to a fuck up when that eventually does come, as it happens to all keepers.
Well, at the moment,
interesting.
The Gerrard stand is still applauding him for kicking the ball every single time. He kicked the ball then. He did a good job there, didn't he? I was like, oh, God, don't patronise the kid. He's done amazingly.
It's like applauding your kid when he's playing a rabbit or a tree in a nativity play, isn't it? And just standing there with no words. But look at him there, standing. He's doing the standing well.
He's tree four. Blinking. He's tree three or four. If he's tree four, one, two, three, there he is.
Give him a round of applause.
Yeah, well done. So... yeah, I think we're in a fantastic position where we were compared to in November. What a great Christmas it was. How weird is that? We never say that about Norwich.
You said for the first time this season you think you might be wrong about your prediction that we'll get relegated.
Well, though, I didn't think we'd get many points out of... I thought we might get a draw out of Aston Villa. I thought we were going to lose to Southampton. But putting Mane on the bench...
Yeah, that helps, didn't it?
Wow.
Especially with our fullbacks. I mean, that really...
He's tough, isn't he?
Yeah. What, Koeman?
Yeah.
Ronald Koeman, yeah. And yeah, I suppose rightly so, because it's not the first time Mane turned up late. But, I mean, I like Alex Neil sort of rather smugly afterwards asked if that helped, and he just sort of smugly smiled and said, of course it did.
Yeah.
He's one of their best players. Yeah. You know.
What's wrong with him, Ronald? He just goes around the world causing issues. Ronald. More of that later. So, what should we do now?
I don't know. What should
Come
we do
on,
now?
Come on, you know what we're going to do now.
Are we doing tweets?
We'll do tweets.
Do you want to do the tweets?
Yeah.
Yeah?
All right, one
minute.
Let me up my phone. I thought about giving each tweet like a rating.
Okay.
Rather than just put them into a top 10.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
Mm, you can do that if you want, yeah.
Did you favour them all?
I did like them all, yeah.
Oh, they were like...
Do we want to talk about transfers?
No. Yeah, go on then.
Should we do that later, though? Let's get on to the fun, the fun tweeting bit and then transfers.
Okay. I'm not very good at this sort of thing. The thing is, most people have had like 15 versions in. There's all the same people.
Yeah, you've got to sing them all as well.
Okay. Oh, yeah, shit, I forgot that. Vadis This Love, Bob Marley, out of 10.
Vadis This Love?
Yeah.
There's a lot of Vadis ones, wasn't there? Yeah. I think they get better.
Vadis Love by Taylor
Swift. Who was that from? Who was that from?
How would it be? Vadis Love. Am I being thick?
I mean, it should be How Deep Is This Love, shouldn't it, really?
By Bob Marley?
Yeah.
That's How Deep Is Your Love by Bob Marley. Fantastic.
Hell of a mashup there.
Yeah. And Vadis Love by Taylor Swift. Don't get that one.
But who's doing the
tweets? Hello, Vadis. Maybe it's just Is. Is This Love. Oh, it is. Just Is This Love.
Oh, right, yeah.
Let's put the word Vad in front of
who
it.
Who tweeted that?
That was Adam Lambert, who did that one.
Out of 10?
7?
Yeah. Let's give him a solid 7.
Vadis Love, Taylor Swift.
I don't know.
Nope.
No idea.
Let's show us in Vegas. Hello, Vadis, Me You're Looking For by Lionel Richie.
Who's tweeting it?
Richard Fraser again.
What was that one?
Every Little Thing He Does Is Vadis, The Police, Richard Fraser again.
Okay.
Matthew WCR says, works better written down than probably late, but how you're going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Vadis.
Okay. I must admit, I don't know whether it's the new year, but I have understood none of these so far.
Something good, Utah Saints.
Utah Saints?
Yeah, Utah Saints.
Oh, yeah, that's quite good.
Yeah.
That's quite good. Scott, who was that?
Scott Argers.
Okay.
Well done to him.
What's that, a 7.5 out of 10?
Yep, here we go. Fionn Thomas.
Fionn.
You do it. Says, Notorious B.I.G., mo mayne, mo problems.
I mean, that's great.
There we go.
That's nine. That's a 9 out of 10, isn't it?
Saint, no stopping us now.
Oh, I laughed at that one. I genuinely laughed.
That's Argus again.
Okay, fuck.
Cumin behaviour. Human behaviour by Bjork.
Do you want that one? So he did some behaviour. Yeah.
See, that's Twitcher. You didn't like him now, do you? New year, new person. It's all over for
is
him.
That Twitcher?
Yeah.
I imagine he prolled up with a better one.
No cumin, no cry.
That's good.
There we go.
Who's that?
That's Stukulele.
Although he was their cumin, and he, you know, it's not like he needed to be on the pitch.
Five, everybody get up.
What? what, because everyone's excited because we're going up the league as well.
Everybody get up by five.
Who was your favourite boy band?
My favourite boy band.
Your favourite boy in a band?
Probably like East 17.
Yeah, I could relate to them because they were all tiny.
And what, they're like,
and you know, gritty and urban like me.
And also, he like wrote the songs.
Who did?
The tall one.
Was there a tall one?
Yeah. Was there a tall one? A tall, hey now.
No, he was tiny as well. The one who ran himself over?
No, that was Brian Harvey. Oh, the tall, Tony Mortimer, his name was.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Looked like the fella from Pet Shop Boys.
Who?
A little bit.
Not really.
Hmm.
The Long and Winding Road. That's Julian Bonnick.
Okay. Because I guess the Premier League is a long and winding road.
Yeah. Loving the First Tetty by Wanarama Rama. That banana.
Bananarama. That's good. Who's that by?
Loving the First Tetty.
Who's that by?
That's by Bring It On Down.
That's a good one.
It's Hard to Be a Saint in the City. Bruce Springsteen.
That's good.
That's Anita Byrne Phillips.
That's well done, Anita Byrne Phillips.
You've met her.
I know I have. Yeah.
Outside a hotel. Not saying anything else.
I was with you as well, wasn't I?
Yes. Yeah. And Adija's Got Us Falling in Love Again by Usher.
Good. Good.
John Punt.
John fucking Punt.
As if you've... Last night, Odija saved my life.
You know, I
life.
Literally like the
Last
all.
Night, Odija saved my life.
Is that John fucking Punt?
Yes,
again?
It is.
Oh, that's good, John. That is good.
Sweet Goals Are Made by Vadis.
If we were doing a top 10, which we're not this week, John probably would have won, wouldn't he?
He probably, so he didn't.
Oh.
Oh, someone else has already done Hard to Be a Saint in the City by Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
What about Alexander the Great by Iron Maiden?
Yes, very good.
Michael Garwood, thanks for that.
Uh-huh.
I'll Stick You and Wanama Too and Your Daddy by Daphne and Celeste.
Is that Richard by any chance?
Yeah, this is someone by Luke Bell. I'll do five more, okay?
Okay.
Sorry if I don't get to everyone's, but it's Christmas.
It's not, is it?
Oh, shit.
I've still got my Christmas decorations.
You have,
up
it's
there.
Disgusting. So, Jingle Bells, Grab and Smells, Laughs Has Gone Away. Oh, what fun it is to see Vadis finally play.
That's good. A lot of effort gone into
that. That's Luke Bell.
7 out of 10.
I like that. A lot of effort.
It's a pat on the head, isn't it?
One Shot on Target by JLS. That's quite good.
It was as well, wasn't it? One Shot on Target.
When the Saints Come Marching Home.
Mm.
Memories Are Made by Vadis, Dean Martin. Let's Richard Freezer, stop sending us. I think it's quite a few of them, actually. When the Saints Go Marching In.
One more. Let's give us a good one.
Okay.
Make it good. If necessary, just repeat a good one from earlier.
Okay. Red, Red Wainama.
Red, Red Wainama. Yeah, you got the red card.
Red card.
Who was that?
William Stern.
William Stern.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Well done. And he's the winner today.
We don't have winners today.
We
will next week.
We're all winners.
Yeah.
That was depressing, wasn't it?
So just to confirm, John Punt would have won if we were doing the top 10.
And because we're not?
He hasn't won.
He has nothing in his life. Except for a very firm handshake.
Yep, that's right.
And he said firm Shamhake.
Yes, good. So, but thank you for everyone who's tweeted. That's lots of tweets.
Thank you, everyone, thank you for so tweeting stuff. Mm. So, we're going to do Dan versus John now. You've got nothing ready, have you?
I forgot you were coming over, I have to admit. You did. But I've scribbled down a Dan versus John.
Okay, shall I press the button then?
Or do we want to listen to Ed, talk to Ed first?
No, we'll do Dan versus John first. It'll get your people. Okay. Who cares? Everybody cares because I am winning. Win, 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 win. What is the score?
I genuinely can't remember.
4-2 to me.
Is it?
4-3?
5-3? 4-3. 4-all?
No, 4-3 because you got bonus points to come back.
Okay.
And then I got my mascot one.
Oh, you did, yeah. Which was
4-3.
Okay, I've got a similar question to your mascot one, I think.
Oh man!
Just because I forgot you were coming over to do this podcast.
Name the team.
Yes. Yeah, essentially. So when we're about to be talking about the FA Cup to Ed Cousins Lake in a little bit about our two semi-finals in. Stop looking at Twitter, John. In 89.
What's wrong? What's wrong?
You just showed me a funny tweet.
Oh, sorry.
What tweet did you just show me?
Any news on Norwich signings? None.
None. We're going to be talking about Ed Cousins Lake, about our two FA Cup runs in 88, 89 and 91, 92 when we got to the semis and didn't get to the final.
Who wants to get to the final, though?
And in the 88, 89 run, when we were eventually beaten by Everton in the forgotten...
88, 89?
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, but...
Yeah, but what?
Go on.
What?
I was seven. Go
okay.
on.
When we lost in the forgotten semi-final, which in 89, we beat Sutton United 8-0 along the way.
Yeah.
After Sutton United had just beaten Coventry, the first non-league side to beat a top division team, I believe.
How do you know all this?
Because we were looking at it earlier.
All right. Yeah.
Do you know who scored against them?
No.
I told you, literally.
Yeah, I thought
ago.
That might be the question I was trying to...
Okay, well, it might help, okay. Because of the 11, name 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of them.
Oh, come on.
Nine
in 88, you asked me to 9...
88, 89. It's pretty much the same team as the early 90s team.
I gave you a 2000. And you had to name a whole squad. You had nine in the whole squad.
You didn't even tell me you were coming over to do this podcast today. So
yes, I did.
I gave you three names earlier because I scored...
So, Fleck.
Yes.
Malcolm Allen.
Fleck, who scored a hat-trick.
Malcolm Allen.
Who scored four goals.
Trevor Putney.
Who scored the other goal, yeah.
Brian Gunn.
I'm going to have to swap over. Swapping my hand over. No, the microphone over.
Swapping your hand on the microphone.
So, you've gone Fleck, Allen,
yeah.
Gunn,
yeah.
Putney.
I got four.
Correct.
Culverhouse.
Correct.
Crook.
Incorrect.
Oh.
You can get three wrong.
Dale Gordon.
Correct. 3 decades ago.
Mark Bowen.
Yep. 4 decades ago. Shit.
Was Mike Feeling playing?
He was. Checking you haven't got up online.
I'm
right
fucking
now.
Awesome at this. How many have I got?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You've got 8. So you've only got
more.
To get one more, and you've got 2 incorrect answers left. Allowed.
Oh, this is tense, isn't it?
Took about wow.
I'm missing a centre back. Two centre backs?
Yep.
Andy Linegan.
Yes. Wow. Nailed it.
Ian Butterworth.
Yep. And one more player.
Rule Fox.
No. Oh,
that'd have been really good, wouldn't it? Would I get him? Is he gettable?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what position he is?
He's midfielder.
Jerry Goss?
No.
Oh, that's not bad, was it?
Like saying Clive a lot.
Oh, Andy Townsend.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have got him. He's knob. That was good.
That was brilliant. 10 out of 11, essentially, you got. I almost feel like if you'd got Townsend, I would have given you a bonus point.
I'm quite good at this.
Very
now,
good.
Aren't I?
Yeah.
I've been learning over Christmas.
I mean, it was probably pretty much essentially the same team, apart from Phelan and Putney.
Yeah, but I got Putney, didn't I?
Would you have got Putney if I hadn't told you the score earlier?
No.
No?
At all.
No.
So,
would you have got Malcolm Allen if I
got,
told you?
So how many did I had to get 9, didn't I?
Yeah.
So I got 6, basically.
Yeah.
That's not bad,
that's
is it?
That's very good.
I would have got Fleck.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't probably want to got. I would have got Malcolm Allen because I know he got scored 4 goals that game. That was good.
Well done, John.
I like this. 5-3.
You started 2016 very well.
I got a 5 in my team. Should we talk to Ed now?
Yeah.
So we did this conversation... Oh, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago?
Yeah, about that.
Oh, actually, 1 minute. Well, how long was it ago?
20 minutes.
20 minutes 20 ago. Minutes, okay. That was it. And it was really good to talk about. We talked about lots of interesting things. Anyway, here it is.
But if you don't know who Ed is...
Who doesn't?
I'm sure you do. Most people...
If you don't,
Norwich related.
Turn this podcast off. Turn it off.
No, please don't.
Delete
please
it.
Don't. Don't do that.
Break your phone and drown yourself.
And then find out who Ed is.
Yeah.
Because we ain't going to tell you. No, he's sort of a freelance writer and journalist who's written books on Norwich City and with Norwich City legends in the past. And I believe he might write for one of the websites. Does he write for...
Are you right?
My Football Writer, does he or not?
I think so.
He does? Yeah. He writes.
He's probably a bit busy, you know, doing books and stuff.
Yeah. And so we had a... books and stuff.
Books and stuff.
We had a little chat with him.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, here it is. Enjoy it. If you don't, again, drown yourself. So with us today, we have the famous, the exceptional... he's laughing. He laughed first. Okay, I'm going to say that.
Yeah, I did laugh.
The exceptional Ed Cousins-Lake with us, who's going to talk to us about the FA Cup. How are you, Ed?
I'm great, thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. That's very kind. So,
that's all right.
First of all, let's talk about yourself. How are you and what new little projects have you got going at the moment?
I'm very well, thank you. Lots of stuff going on, lots of blogging on all manner of things for all manner of people. The book at the moment I'm doing, as most people know, I'm doing with Cameron McGeehan. It's about schoolboy and youth football, and it's a bit of an expose because Cam's being quite candid. So,
cool.
I think his club are a bit worried already, but they needn't be half as worried as Norwich might be.
Wow.
Oh, wow. So are we going to see a few serials in the local papers or maybe even national papers then?
Yeah, I'd like to think Archet might print some of it, but yeah, it's quite hot stuff, to be honest with you, some of it, just on how they regard, certainly how Norwich regard young players, and which I guess is the same with all clubs, quite honestly, but it's just the way he's told the stories about, you know, things that happen and that, but...
So the feeling of being a part of a big machine rather than sort of...
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Being a value on a balance sheet, basically. That seems to be how they see. And again, I'm not saying that's just exclusive to Norwich, but it does seem to be how football clubs see their young players. They are a value on a balance sheet. And the academy is seen as something which provides footballers to play professional football more than it does for the team they're actually registered to.
I didn't want to get into this, but do you think that's right? As a whole, if you ignore the actual person involved in it, which is hard to do, I understand that. But do you think that's a good thing to do?
Well, a good thing for the club to do?
Yeah.
In order to make money?
From a footballing point of view, I think it stinks, quite honestly, because I think, like all of us, we like to see the young players come through and play in the team. And we've seen players who I think are good enough. Look at Harry Toffolo.
Yeah.
I mean, my only experience of watching him live in a game is the pre-season friendly against West Ham. But he looked absolutely at home in that game. Didn't put a foot wrong. I want to see them play. But from a business point of view, I guess they're seen as a value. They're seen as an asset. And that's how it seems to be in youth schoolboy football. And that's a big thing we're focusing on in the book.
I guess they would, Norwich would argue, if they were genuinely good enough, they would play. There's no sort of sense in selling an asset early on, I guess, isn't it?
Well, that's the big argument, I think, and in all probability, I think Cam will play at championship level at the very least regularly at some point in the future, but that may not have been until maybe 2 or 3 years' time, and maybe they don't want to hang about that long. And if you're good enough, get in. Look how long it's taken Declan to get a run in the team. He's what, 24 now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's no longer a youngster, really, is he? Sort of.
And everybody keeps saying the new young Norwich goalie. Well, he isn't. I think he's probably younger than older than Joe Hart, or very similar age to him.
Yeah, extraordinary. But it's good to see him getting a go, though. I mean, it's been a long time, hasn't it, since we've had...
Yeah, and he's stuck at it. But I think the difference for him is he sees Norwich as his club. You know, he's a local lad. And all along the line, he said, I just want to play for Norwich. You don't often get that in football these days, so...
No.
It's true. So he's not. That's why this thing is one of our own.
I mean, he was very close to leaving under Hughton, wasn't he?
Yeah, and when he was there with Jed Steer, everybody said, well, Declan's all right, but Jed Steer's the big, you know, the big hope.
Yeah.
And Jed's career, I think, has stagnated almost now, and Declan's moved on and is now playing in the Premier League. Same with Joe Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, and Rudd looks very much at home in the Premier League, doesn't he?
So, yeah.
I suppose if, until you throw them in, you never really know how they're going to perform.
Of course. And it's, you know, do you throw them in this environment where every point is absolutely crucial? So that's got a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Okay, I suppose we are here to talk a bit FA Cup, aren't we?
We are,
yeah. I suppose.
So is the FA Cup weekend, third round weekend coming up? Now, I spoke to you very briefly about what memories you have of the two FA Cup finals, and you said you weren't there, but you told me, you teased me with a very interesting story. And interestingly, Dan's got one similar. So I'll let you go first, Ed, and then I'll let Dan interject with his hilarious story.
Yeah, Sunderland in when was it? 92.
92, yeah.
Watched it. I lived in Wimbledon at the time, and a whole bunch of us watched it. Including my mate Phil, who's a big Sunderland fan.
Ooh.
And as you can imagine.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The banter during the week leading up to it was good. But I was cocky with it because there was no way we were losing to Sunderland.
I mean, they were the division below us at the time, weren't they?
Yeah, they were below us. We weren't having the best of seasons, but we had a good team. Flecky was on fire. You think of the players we had in the squad that season who were doing well. We had Flecky. Who else was there? John Polston was playing really well in defence. Ian Calvert had settled into the team. We had a really good team.
Yeah.
So I was giving it big. You know, you don't stand a chance. We're getting to the final. It's going to be us against Liverpool and all the rest of it. I remember when Clive Walker scored that goal, from the moment the Sunderland keeper released the ball for that move, you could tell Sunderland were going to score.
Uh-huh.
It was just so inevitable. If you watch that clip back on YouTube, you just know they're going to score. And the space Clive Walker had to put the ball in the net, to put them one up. And when that happened, Phil, my mate, was like all over me. And I had the biggest, most childish flames you can ever imagine. Honestly, tantrum, stamping my feet, stormed out the house, slammed the door, gone, went for a walk.
You left the house?
Yeah.
Went up to Wimbledon Common?
Yeah, I wasn't far off it. I'm ashamed to this day that I did that. I've done it twice in football matches. The only other time I've done it, same house, was when Holland beat England in that World Cup qualifier. And I think Ronald Koeman's
free kick.
And Brian Moore was saying, he's going to float it.
Yeah.
And he did. Same thing, out of the house. Slam door tantrum.
Koeman should have been sent off as well, shouldn't he, earlier?
And he should, yeah. He'd just done that foul on, I think on David Platt, and he stayed on the pitch. So two footballing tantrums, semi-final, 92. That was one of them.
Now, in my defence, I was only 10, I think.
Yeah, I was a bit older.
In 91, but I wasn't really known for rage as a child. but I was clutching a tennis ball for some reason. I was bouncing a tennis ball around when I was quite young, watching the semi-final. And after the match, after we'd lost, I chucked it at the Sunderland goalkeeper on the television and got a bit of a bollocking from my dad for that. It was an old crappy wooden television that sort of shuddered as soon as the ball hit it. But I was in a proper rage. I mean, I'd only really been into football for about a year by then. Cried when England got knocked out in 1990. Got angry in 92 when we lost to Sunderland. So my earliest memories of football are all sort of just tear streaming down my face, really.
The only thing I can remember from the Sunderland game was that Robert Fleck was put in some sort of oxygen tank.
Yeah,
tent.
He was, wasn't he?
Because he broke his ribs.
Mm, yeah, like a horse.
Yeah, and I was fast. I remember looking at the Pinken front page, and he was just all like in a, like he had a mask on. He's like waving from this little horrible little super. I don't know what it was. Some sort of like sci-fi tank.
There was a clip of him on it on Football Focus, I remember him getting out of it, and Tim Shepherd saying, "Come on, Robert," and that was like Tim Shepherd's big moment on Football Focus.
Nice. It was good. So can you remember anything from the Everton game? Because I can't.
Yeah, not that much, really, because that was a great season. I mean, we had odds on the double at one point during that season. But of course, it's a blur, isn't it? Because of Hillsborough on the same day.
Of course, yeah. I mean, and I just had a little look at the goal, actually, on YouTube. And
it came off the crossbar, didn't it?
Yeah, it was Kevin Sheehan, I think his name was, who hit the crossbar, bounced back, and Pat Nevin was there in a body of about four Norwich defenders and managed to poke it in. So it was a proper 1980s goal, sort of top flight goal. But, I mean, that was a less of a shock than us losing to Sunderland in 92.
Yeah, the Sunderland one. I mean, I spoke to Gossie about that one when we were doing the book, and he said on the way back, they all stopped for ships, as you did then. and they found themselves by a churchyard, so they were all sat with their backs to gravestones eating their chips.
Perhaps. A bit morbid, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the one player in the squad who was consoling them all was Jerry Payton. You remember the goalie? We had him on loan at the time.
God, no, I must admit, I don't remember.
Yeah, he said he was really good sort of consoling them, but they were all in bits, and you can imagine, because that was...
Are you making this up, Ed?
No, it's in the book.
Okay, fair enough.
I've read the Goss book as well.
Oh, yeah, I have.
It's in there somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. But that just happened to be where they were. So you can imagine all the Norwich players in their semi-final suits eating chips in the churchyard. What a photo. Oh, my God, what a photo.
Who was in goal that day? It was
Mark Walton.
It was Walton, wasn't it?
Mark Walton, yeah.
I can't remember the Sunderland goalkeeper who got my tennis ball in the head.
He had big thighs.
Did he?
Mark Walton.
Yeah. It was Tony Norman. Tony Norman was the Sunderland goalie.
Yes, the guy I threw the ball at. Mark Walton had big thighs. That's not good for a goalkeeper to have big thighs.
Oh, well, he did.
It stops agility.
He had left foot. He was left footed.
He was a hell of a lad as well.
Was he? Was that
Yeah.
me?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
He was a party animal to end all party animals.
That's all
right. Yeah, right, okay. He's got some stories. I'll put you in touch with him. He'd be great to have on one of your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
Just that'd brilliant. Be
good. Yeah.
Where does he kind of live now? What's he doing?
He lives in Swansea. He's actually a cricket coach, would you believe?
No, yeah. I don't want him on.
But he's one of the nicest blokes you'll ever talk to. And the stories he's got of his time, especially at Norwich, are just legends. They really are.
Fantastic stuff. All right, Ed, thank you very much, my man.
That's a pleasure.
Fantastic to talk to you. Just one more little thing. Just a quick, 10-second summary of what you think the season's going so far for Norwich.
I'm happy. We got to the points total we needed to be for this time of the year. We had a good win against Southampton on Saturday. So, yeah, I'm pleased. Safety, no problem.
Good man. Thank you very much, Ed. I'll speak to you very soon.
Cheers, Ed.
All right. All the best. Cheers. See you.
So, thanks very much to Ed. It's been brought to my attention that I've asked people to drown themselves twice.
Yeah.
Please don't.
And also, you only need to drown yourself once. You don't really get an opportunity to do it a second time. It's not a drowning if it fails, is it? It's pissing around in water.
I don't know, though, is it?
Hmm.
If you drown, well, yeah, I guess so. I was drowning.
Drowning.
Save me from drowning.
Mm.
Yeah.
You haven't drowned.
No, but we're going to drown ourselves in transfers now because we haven't officially
That's a
made...
link from Smashy and Nicey there,
yeah,
isn't it?
We haven't actually officially made any signings apart from Matt Jarvis, and he doesn't count. So what we're going to talk about is who we are going to sign and some inside info that you have. So hit us with it, Dan.
I've no inside info, but...
Just fucking pretend.
We are going to sign a player from Europe.
Ooh.
Might be an English part of Europe, England. I don't know, maybe Stevenson.
Well, Pinto is going to be signing.
Yeah.
Either apparently. Pinto.
Yes, he is. He obviously, you've seen a lot of him.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I've been following his career since the early days.
Since he was born.
Yeah, literally. I watched him be born.
Yeah. Two legs, apparently.
Yeah, over two legs. The birth was away goals. I don't know what that means. But I think he's a bargain.
Do you?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got Champions League experience and Europe.
And he's been in numerous squads for Portugal. Numerous, not just one or two, like 20 or something.
No, he's been in one full Portugal squad and didn't get on the pitch.
He's a full... You know, he scored.
He's fully Portuguese.
His goal scoring record is phenomenal. That is one thing.
Got his 7 foot plays up front, right? I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many goals has he scored?
37 this season.
Has he?
Yeah. Extraordinary.
For a right back, that's really good. Do you know he hasn't scored one goal in his career?
He hasn't?
No.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know
that. I thought that's what I was going with. Obviously, I thought you might have known that.
No. Didn't know he hadn't scored
He's
one goal.
He's never scored in his life. Actually, you better check that because I'm...
I won't
check
it.
Like. Let me check it while you're talking. So what else do you think?
Well, it's quite interesting that it came out today that that fella who he tried to sign from Napoli, Koulibaly, is it Koulibaly? Koulibaly, centre-back, said that Napoli turned down €15 million bid for him from Norwich in the summer.
How much is that in pounds?
£9 million, I think. So it does show that Norwich are willing to break their transfer record. Are you literally checking it?
Yeah, you said Willy.
Willy to, yeah. Willing. Do you know what I would like, though?
£2.2 million. What's that in thingy?
That's
in... Ivor Pinto. What a stupid name. I'm not having that.
do you know what I'd like is if we signed only Ben Godfrey from York this transfer window.
Yeah, imagine that. People would be squirting themselves on the internet.
People would be drowning themselves twice if we only signed Ben Godfrey.
I'm going to give you a quick bonus, Dan versus John. Dan versus John.
You're going to give me a quick what?
Yeah, quick bonus.
Okay.
Can you name Ivor Pinto's three middle names?
Malcolm.
Nope.
Gerald.
You got one more guess.
Ivor. Massive.
Ivor Massive Pinto is correct. No, the answer was Daniel. You could have won a bonus point with Daniel. This is your name.
Ivor.
Ivo Daniel Fiera Mendonca Pinto.
Is it Ivo or Ivor?
Ivo.
Ivo. It's a good name. I know an English Ivo. Oh, it does make you think of...
He's officially scored. He's never scored a goal.
No. Ivo makes you think of white-bearded Englishmen, really, for me.
He started off for playing for Porto. Mm-hmm. He never played for them. Then he went out on loan to Gil Vicente. He never played for them. Then he went to Victoria Setubal. He played them three times. So he's got a lot of class behind him.
Where do you think, if Pinto...
In my brain?
If Pinto is coming in, where else would you like a new person
I think Stephen Whittaker might be leaving us.
Yeah, but where else would you like a new person on the pitch?
I'm just saying. I think that there's going to be a bit of a shuffle round, and I think that a few players might be leaving up top.
Okay, so that means you think a striker that we've not really been linked. I mean, we've been linked with Haller before the transfer window, but we've not really.
Naismith?
He's more of a sort of number 10, plays behind the striker, isn't he?
He does a lot of running around. I like that.
He does do a lot of running around, yeah. But then Wes does a lot of running around.
Yeah, but when
I'm not convinced we need Naismith, I have to admit.
Yeah, but it's putting class into the squad, isn't it? You never know what's going to
happen. Well, it's putting a Premier League experience into the squad.
Yeah, so what's if Wes's leg falls off?
But then we've got Housen who can play number 10. We've got Vadis Adija who can play number 10 as well now, who did very well when he came on against Southampton. So I do wonder if that sort of £8 million can be spent on go towards a centre-back or a proper striker. I mean, I'd like Naismith. I think he would improve our squad. But if it's a toss-up between spending £8 million on him or on a proven goal scorer...
Seriously, when the last time you're going to toss up over £8 million? That's what you just said.
Did I just say that?
Yeah. If it's a toss-up between £8 million and... That's what you said.
Uh-huh.
If this was normal, I would have took that out of context and... Dan says something else about masturbating over money.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, carry on.
You're just doing wank jokes, aren't you?
Yeah.
I would not take Naismith. I would toss up over a young striker.
Yeah. Again. Yeah. Where do you want to...
I've been told I can't come to Colney now. But.
Where do you want us to put a signing in?
Well, I wanted right back, a centre back and a striker. And it sounds like we've got a right back. A couple of weeks ago, I wanted a goalkeeper, but Rudd so far has proven himself as a fine Premier League goalkeeper. There's rumours Ruddy might go, and I'd be relatively happy to sell him for £3 million. I don't think we'll get more than him at the end of the season. I think he's on a steady decline since his injury a couple of seasons ago, unfortunately. But I would say he is a very good backup goalkeeper to have in the Premier League.
Definitely.
So I probably wouldn't want to sell him, actually.
You just changed your mind in a sentence.
No, my original thought was I wouldn't mind him going, but I think as backup, you don't get much better quality than someone like Ruddy for a club our level.
Bournemouth seem to want a lot of our players.
They do, don't they?
They seem to be want of a lot of players who are not really in the squad. Do you think that's enough to push them up the league a little bit? I don't think it is. Grabbing a Ruddy?
Yeah, I wonder if Ruddy... I wonder if that link is genuine, whether they're in for other goalkeepers. I think Grabban... I mean, Eddie Howe's obviously worked with Grabban before at Bournemouth, and Grabban scored lots of goals at Bournemouth, which is why we bought him. And I think if Grabban goes to Bournemouth... I think if Grabban goes to Bournemouth, I will win our bet about Grabban scoring more Premier League goals than Cameron Jerome.
Whoa.
This season.
Whoa.
Well, just because of injuries.
Yeah, that's not fair. You can't put me into another side.
We didn't say it was fair, though, did we, John? We never said it had to be fair.
True. I like that.
It would be pretty galling if Grabban, and this is a big if Grabban goes to Bournemouth and then, you know, finishes the season with 10 goals or something like that. That would be pretty galling, I think.
And it's called galling?
Which he hasn't been doing for us.
No. Mm-hmm. I think that, this is what I think. Ready for this?
Go.
I think that Ruddy will go.
Okay.
And I think that he's using the press to get...
Because we've recalled Remy Matthews as well.
Yes, we have. Yeah. Well, I think we are going to use the press like other clubs do and try and get a better fee for him.
Okay.
And I don't believe that just because there's a name in the paper, some of the players that we've been linked to, it's like 15 players.
Yeah.
And we're going to get about three or four.
Is it the Milan centre back? I just don't believe that was ever even true.
And also there was the Sheffield Wednesday...
Yeah, he's out injured, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
Yeah, for about 3 months or something.
Oh, so, is he?
Yeah.
What, recently?
About a month ago. He's out for quite a long time.
Oh, okay. Well, it just seems really strange. I didn't know that, to be honest. I thought he was still available.
So that may well have been genuine, but obviously if he's out then...
But there just seems to be a lot of names being floated around. Obviously, with money how it is in the Premiership and in world football now, I guess, a lot of agents use... the press more than they used to. So if you do see a name in the paper, that doesn't mean anything anymore, I don't think.
So what you think we're doing that with Ruddy?
Yeah, a little bit. I think I have to wait till we get an official tweet come through.
Yeah.
And then we can say, yep, he has signed. Or, nope, he hasn't signed. Because that's what we have to do.
Although if we do get an official tweet through, he probably will have signed.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So we've got to wait for these information to come through.
But where would you like a new player?
I've answered this. Have I?
No.
Okay. Where?
Yeah. Where on which positions on the pitch?
I'd like a striker. I'd like a striker that has the pace of and strength of Jerome, and the finishing ability of Jerome, and the looks of Jerome.
Okay. So Emil Heskey.
Oh, come on!
What? No, he couldn't finish, but he was very quick and very.
He wasn't quick.
Heskey was really quick.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he bloody was. Really quick. I remember seeing him come on when he was really young against Norwich for Leicester, come on as a sub, and he was a monster. And I genuinely thought then that he was going to go on and be one of England's great strikers.
But he was. He did.
He played up for
Norwich, for England, for numerous games.
You would never call him one of England's great strikers, though, would you? You might call him one of England's great... strikers.
Infamous strikers.
Michael Owen always said he would have scored half the goals if it hadn't been for Emil Heskey, but he had the talent to be a proper goal scorer for England. But anyway, so you'd like Cameron Jerome up front again? Then. So we sell him and then sign him. Yeah. Well, there are rumours that Middlesbrough want him.
Yeah. If it was £8 million, I would take the £8 million and put it into someone like. I think we should have got Andre Gray.
Well, yeah, but he probably wouldn't have come to us.
Why?
Because he's going to a team that are third in the league. Or second in the league.
What?
Hasn't he gone to Leicester?
No.
Oh, who's he gone to?
That's Dimitri Gray.
Oh, I'm getting my Grays mixed
up. You are. Uh-huh. It's 50 Shades of them. All right. Now I'll talk about the Burnley striker.
Yeah, you said before, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I like him. He's a good player. I think he'll come up with Burnley this year.
Well, that's the thing. It's harder to... It's starting to...
Oh, shit. My ear just fell off.
From this is the top of my head, it's quite hard to buy championship players, or at least strikers, from clubs who are top sort of six and looking to challenge to go up, especially if you're in a relegation battle, because the striker thinks, well, I could be in the Premier League next season anyway, and I'm settled. So it's quite, that's why, chances Charlie Austin leaving seem pretty remote as well. He seems pretty...
It's all gone quiet around here, isn't it?
He's said he wants to see out his contract to QPR, but
does he?
QPR, the sort of club that...
How long they got left?
I think it's just the end of the year, so I wouldn't be surprised if QPR want to get rid of him, but especially if they've got no chance of getting promoted, which seems that way.
Yeah.
So you want to Cameron Jerome up to buy Cameron Jerome? Yeah. Should we maybe get Bradley Johnson back as well? Jacob Butterfield. Butterfield.
Yeah, get him back.
Yeah.
Bring his mum. And I also think we should bring back Anthony McNamee.
Yeah. Yeah. Just I think that's in the pipeline.
To replace Nathan Redmond, who we're going to sell for $200,000.
Yeah.
To Portsmouth. Not really. I'm joking.
Mm.
Should we end it now?
Okay.
Because I'm starting to talk real shit. You always know.
So who we got? We got Man City in the FA Cup, haven't we?
Oh, fuck that. Who cares about that? That's rubbish. We'll put a shit side out. They'll put a shit side out. And it'll be a shit game. And it's on telly, though.
Is it?
It's on a stream.
Okay, fine.
Because all the, you know, there's that thousands of bucks.
Which is probably explains why it's only about half full Carrow Road is for it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not going. That sounds like I'm not being...
It's weird.
If it would have been like a smaller team... Or, I don't know, a team I felt it was going to be like a real humdinger of a game. Am I wrong? I think it's going to be a really poor, crappy game.
It's a shame because I'd love to love the FA Cup again. And I would love an FA Cup run. But I don't want the inconvenience of having to bother with the early rounds.
Yeah.
If we could just get parachuted straight to the quarterfinals.
I'd like that.
That would be great.
I do remember the quarterfinals against Southampton when Chris Sutton scored.
Yeah.
Wow.
Were you there?
Oh, was I? That was a noise.
Right. Wow.
What, extra time as well. When's the last time you saw extra time at Carrow Road?
At Carrow Road? We've had a few away, haven't we, in the Cups?
Yeah, but like a proper quarterfinal, people kicking each other, bouncing, shitty pitch.
Johnson's paint trophy, didn't we? I can't remember now. But
we should have won that.
Just talking about now, it would be great to have a cup run. We've never been to FA Cup final, which is quite embarrassing. When you think some of the shit teams that have won it recently, or got to the final at least, like Cardiff, Wigan, Portsmouth,
yeah,
you know, Millwall. So, you know, there's no reason with big teams not taking it quite, you know, as seriously as they used to.
Greece.
No. what?
When Greece went to.
Do you know, I put money on them to win Euros.
No, you bought that?
Yeah.
Did you?
I got 80 to 1.
How much did you put on?
Quite a lot of money.
No, you didn't.
Paid for a holiday.
Really?
Genuinely. Both me and my dad both put money on them to win Euros that year.
Wow.
Yeah. He put it on because I told him to.
80
I'm
to 1?
Full credit. Yeah, it was 80 to 1.
And you must have put, what, 10 on, 20 quid?
More, yeah. No, about 20 quid, yeah. Yeah.
Well, enough grand, isn't
it? Yeah. It was...
That wasn't online.
It wasn't a massive... I mean, I didn't think they'd win it, but it wasn't a massive punt because they'd gone unbeaten in their qualifying group. I think they'd only conceded a couple of goals.
But you must have gone into a bookies then, rather than do it online.
I can't even remember now. No, I think it was online. It was, when was it? 2004. So, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was it online bookie? Online betting?
Of course it was. yeah,
we
anyway.
Say that. It's like 12 years ago.
But Norwich winning the FA Cup is...
Oh, Euros this year.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
We said we're going to go to a game, but all the tickets have gotten ready.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Well, it's 20 years since Euro 96 as well, which is quite depressing.
Football's coming home.
Yeah.
Talking of coming home, let's go home.
Yes, let's do that. Well, you do. I'm at home.
Oh, shit, that was quick. so what? Do you want to sum up anything? What, the transfer window? Three words for the transfer window?
Ben Godfrey only.
Okay. Uh-huh. And three words for the next game.
Who we
we're sticking
playing?
We're just stealing Michael Bailey's thing. who also stole it off Simon Mayo. So.
Three words for the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Won't be watching.
You won't be watching?
I will. I'll watch the stream probably. Yeah.
Well, you just lied to me. Three words. That's the worst thing anyone can actually do. So thanks very much, everyone.
No, hold on.
What?
Right back at you. Three words for transfer window.
Transfer window.
And you can't just say tickle bum bollocks or something like that.
Sign Cameron Jerome. now I'm going to say spend.
Okay.
Smash that record.
You've got the start of a song there, I think.
Yeah, I'm doing this.
Spend. Yeah, okay. And three words for Man City game.
Man City.
FA Cup.
Away kit? Maybe.
Very good. Yeah. Oh, that's good. We should do this more. Everyone go look at the littleyellowbirdproject.co.uk and follow us on Twitter if you don't.
Yeah.
At the LYBP.
And if you're not following us, why aren't you following
us? And play like us on Facebook. It's really embarrassing. We haven't even got 100 likes, I don't think, have we?
And my mum's got 100 likes.
Yes, she does. And
she's not here on Facebook.
So please go like us, please, as an act of goodwill and mercy for the beginning of 2016.
That's a resolution for you all.
Yeah, go like
Press
Facebook.
A button. Sorry, we have to ask you to press a button, everyone.
And don't go watch the Man City game on legal streams, because that's perfectly unreasonable.
Yeah, because we're just going to watch it through a river.
While drowning for the second time.
Yeah. All right, bye, everyone.
Bye.
We haven't got the music to end it with. Should we just play the music?
Well, can you put the jingle on?
See, is that horrible?
Cock of the day.
Wait a minute. Where is it? Here we go. So there we go. This is the end of the podcast. I like this music.
Do you ever get round to watching Fargo?
No.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, you
very
told good. Me a few times.
Yeah, you really should.
So we've got lots of interesting stuff coming up in the 2016. It's going to be a fantastic year for everyone.
Oh, and hold steady, because we may be announcing some sort of live show at some point.
We do
need to talk about that, don't we?
And it's going to be exciting. But what are we going to do there? Are we going to set fire to people? Probably.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not.
Then we're
going to
drown the fuck out of them.
We can drown them and set fire to them. Maybe that's going to be Dan versus John. We get someone called Dan, get someone versus drum, drown one of them, set fire to it, and see who dies first.
Yeah. Which one the witch is.
Exactly. So there's lots of things to look forward to. Thank you very much for listening to this week's podcast. Dan, just say will.
Will.
And say won't.
Won't.
Just in case people are missing that little bit. I doubt they will, because we've got 13 seconds left.
Why have we got 13 seconds left?
It says here, because I'm still going.
What's your favourite word for 2016? Start it now.
Spish.
Knob of the day. Knob of the day.